Hello everyone, welcome back to A Cup of English. The title of today's podcast is An Unknown Artist. This podcast is brought to you by iTalki, an online collection of native language teachers who can help you with your English pronunciation and fluency. If you buy the first lesson, they will give you $10 off of your second lesson. And as the lessons are online, it's easy and convenient. You choose the time that suits you. So here's the podcast. An Unknown Artist. Never judge a book by its cover is a saying that we have in English that you can apply to so many areas. If you think about it, in order to judge a book, you have to open it and read it, not just look at the cover. If you make an assumption about the book based on what it looks like, your judgment is likely to be wrong. I was guilty of this when I went to an estate sale. First of all, let me explain that an estate sale is different from a yard sale. It is the selling of the entire contents of a house, because either the owner is going to move or has died. There was one of these sales last weekend very close to my house. I was in two minds about going. There always seems to be something else that I could be doing. But I felt like looking for treasure for a few minutes, so I went. As I approached the house, my expectations lowered. It was a small, run-down place that had peeling paint, a rotten carpet on the porch steps, and a dingy garage, which, though it was open, was as dark as a cave. I assumed that I wouldn't find anything of any worth there. I walked into the garage and the man, who was about my age, greeted me. He showed me some items that he called brand new, and others that he said had not even been taken out of their original box. He wasn't a good salesman. So, as I ignored his attempts to get my attention, I wandered towards the back of the garage and came upon a table that was covered in art. When I say art, I'm actually talking about pottery. The whole table was covered in gorgeous, shapely pots of all different sizes and colours, some with lids, others with delicate, thin openings. "Those are my mum's," he said. "She's got a ton of them downstairs, too. Help yourself." "Your mother made these?" I asked, with a mixture of surprise and admiration. "Oh, yeah," he said dismissively. "She's always been into her hobbies." I gathered three pots that I absolutely had to have, put them to one side, and went downstairs. Two dusty concrete rooms were filled with pots, bowls, and vases. There were patinas that shimmered, paint that was crackled, and enamels that were dabbed and mixed and swirled like the colours at a geological site. As I went upstairs, I bumped into a local art teacher, who is herself a very good artist. "Hello, Anna," she said, as she held up one of the cream-coloured, crackled pots that rounded perfectly up into an opening that looked like a small flower. "Oh, that's just beautiful," she said. And she was right. This dark, dingy place was full of beauty. A lady had been working away for years with care and thought about her craft. I took my treasures home, examined them, and realized that the artist hadn't put her name on them. The sale is over now. The lady has gone and the house is empty. But I have three blue pots that shimmer and wink at me as if to say, you can expect good things, even from dark places. Okay, three grammar points. The first one, the use of likely. Do you remember at the beginning of the podcast I say, your judgment is likely to be wrong if you judge a book by the cover? Well, it's similar to saying will probably be wrong. We do use likely as much as we use probably in English, so it's good to have some familiarity with it. Likely is an adjective, but it can be used in front of a verb. Let's see three examples. A. Storms have closed the roads. He is likely to arrive late. Storms have closed the roads. He is likely to arrive late. Now here I could have said, storms have closed the roads. He will probably arrive late. B. What is the likely outcome of the boxing match? What is the likely outcome of the boxing match? And again, I could have said something else. For example, what is the expected outcome, the forecast outcome, or the probable outcome of the boxing match? And C. The government is likely to lower taxes next year. The government is likely to lower taxes next year. And of course, you can say instead, the government will probably lower taxes next year. Number two, the word dingy. It's an interesting adjective. I love the sound of it. It's another word for dull or dark, and it often has a negative connotation, as if the thing you're calling dingy is old, needs some kind of repair or renovation. A. The man went down to a dingy room and handed over the suitcase of money to a man with a gun. The man went down to a dingy room and handed over the suitcase of money to a man with a gun. B. I could not buy that house. It's far too dingy and needs total renovation. I could not buy that house. It's far too dingy and needs total renovation. And number three, that wonderful verb to shimmer. It's very similar to glimmer. Glimmer and shimmer, they rhyme wonderfully and they mean a very similar thing. It's a kind of shine, but it's a subtle shine. Let's see a couple of examples. A. The sunshine shimmered on her silk dress. The sunshine shimmered on her silk dress. B. The gold pot shone brightly, but the bronze pot shimmered. The gold pot shone brightly, but the bronze pot shimmered. Well, thank you so much for joining me. Remember, you're all welcome to join my Facebook page, which is called Anna from A Cup of English. And if you have any questions at all or any comments, please feel free to email me at acupofenglish@hotmail.com. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.